KSLRadio.com.
Ever tell you how much I love Thursdays? Because I get to talk with Jana Gageland, our favorite historian here in Wapton. Jana, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I do. I love Thursdays because these stories that you bring in are fascinating. And I hear I missed the bootleg segment
last week. The intro. There's always more.
Right. Yeah. Well, catch me up. Bootlegging going on, not so much here in town, you said, but around the area.
In the county, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, there were stills on their forest, you know, their tree claims. They didn't even know they were there, so a lot of innocent people, but yeah, right. You know, and it was a way for people to make a living.
I was going
to
say, doing business.
Well, yeah. Times are tough. I mean, I have one little snippet of a widow with two daughters, and she made moonshine to be able to buy food.
No kidding. Locally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, locally, the sheriff and the deputies sort of turned their back to that because they understood what the people were going through. And so they, you know, said, hey, we understand you're trying to make a living here. And yet they're still trying to enforce the law. Yeah. If the federal agents came in and found it, then they would have you prosecuted and sent to Leavenworth Prison. So
you weren't sitting in the county jail.
No.
Yeah.
No. There were plenty of county jail inmates, but a few got sent to Leavenworth.
So. Prohibition created quite a few colorful characters, too. I assume it was just like that here, too. And you mentioned the nicknames.
Yeah. We had Ohio and Ferguson. and then in some of the other articles, it gives their actual names, you know, which was like Larson and Ole and, you know, things that are from this area.
But Ohio and Ferguson, we'll just go with that.
Well, and they eventually ended up in Moorhead anyway.
Right.
So
we're doing part two today.
We are. We're talking a little bit of local stories.
Okay. You know,
they're not very long stories. I chose some that were kind of small, short.
You've been digging around.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't think of it, but there was actually a feud between bootleggers. Yeah, because some of the patrons liked their flavor or their product more than another bootleggers, and so they were like territorial, you know.
And competitive.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so they would feud about, and if you don't stay out of my territory, I'm going to squawk, you know. So, I mean, those terms.
Yeah.
And in fact, I read that in New York City, there were so many bootleggers that they ended up selling to one another. And I'm like, really? Oh, you'd think that they would know each other.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there was always a feud going on between bootleggers.
Colorful times.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That we've had a few crazy people. I mean, this must have made people do really unusual things. But this guy was making his bootleg out of canned heat. You know, it has the wax in it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and so he was melting that down and mixing it with his alcohol. And, yeah, and he offered, unfortunately, he offered the police a drink of it, the magistrate of the police, and, like, unknowing that this was the guy. So, of course, he ended up getting arrested. And, yeah, and he was called a hip peddler because he was using canned heat. And the wax was still floating.
Oh, man.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No.
Yeah. But around here, it says that the whiskey sales on July 4th, $1,800. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Wapaton and Breckenridge area.
And back then, that was a hefty sum.
It was. And it didn't take a lot to make that stuff either. Mm-hmm. You know, you needed alcohol and you needed sugar and something to maybe sweeten it up a little or make it have a flavor of some kind. Here's one about drunk on moon, man steals team. So there was a farm laborer, and this was from Wilkin County, and he remembers nothing after he had taken several drinks of liquor, and he remembers nothing until he was arrested. But what he ended up doing was stealing a team of horses from the farm that he worked at.
That's a serious blackout.
Yeah, and that seemed to be the norm. There was, and this is Ferguson, and he supplied a Finnish laborer from the Femco Farms.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Femco Farms?
I do. That was north of Breck.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he supplied him with alcohol and the fellow later gave up his name, and he moved on to Moorhead, so I don't know if they ever caught up with him. There was a robbery in Hankinson. a train robbery.
Okay.
And they wrote about it saying that the dumb pair had less brains than the average of their kind.
That's a great description.
Yep, they had been drinking excessively of moonshine liquor and were dazed and irresponsible. The chauffeur of the bandit car was admittedly a peddler of poison whiskey. And it goes on to talk about that, you know, these guys shouldn't be doing this. But I also read in the 125th anniversary book of Hankinson that only 65% of the 65% of their voters oppose prohibition.
Really?
Yep. Yep, and which made it hard to enforce out in the areas.
Sure.
Because nobody supported it, and so they aren't going to snitch on someone else.
Well, and you said a lot of law enforcement kind of turned a blind eye to
they
it, too.
They did.
And just, we didn't see it.
Well, I mean, maybe because it was too big. Yeah. I'm not sure.
That could be.
Didn't have enough officers, you know. In this one, I never would have thought, but this one is a bootlegger working in a passenger train. Yeah, they worked on a passenger train from Williston to Grand Forks, and they sold some of this crazy stuff to one of the riders, and he ended up just, you know, going berserk on the train, and they took him off and waited for his brother-in-law, I think, to come and get him. But, I mean, really? Serving, selling it on the train?
The evils.
Yeah, it really kind of.
Of corn mash.
Yeah. If there was any corn. Yeah. Or who knows. But here's Orr Wright. He has had his lesson, and he's one that was going to Leavenworth. He had a little difficulty in reading, and in school was hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he grew up. He was kidnapped when he was 13. He grew up as a horse jockey, and then he ended up in the drug business, making liquor.
But again, you can't script this.
No, he made lots of money doing it. And I suppose if you're a jockey, you're going around to a lot of different places.
Right.
So you could really have a big sale.
Fly below the radar with that.
Yep.
Nice side hustle.
We got a couple from Dwight and Lidgerwood, and they were caught with their just maybe a quart of moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up, again, using that canned heat lemon extract.
Okay.
And that's how they made theirs. And they ended up, in the county jail, and they were in pitiful condition at the county jail.
Is that a quote?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Pitiful condition.
Yeah, where they were recovering from the effects of prolonged drinking. A Winemere man, they came out to, the sheriff and deputy came out to call on him, and they found 2 pints of moonshine in his barn. And
2 pints doesn't seem like a lot.
No. And Mr. Miller said, he was completely, entirely innocent. That wasn't his. It had to belong to somebody else, a man that he had hired in the previous summer, who apparently was a heavy drinker.
The hired help. Blame it on them.
Yep. But they arrested him anyway.
And yeah.
$500 later, he was out.
Wow. Yep. That was a lot of money back then.
It was, yes. You know, and even barn dances, wedding dances didn't escape this kind of thing. I mean, here was a young man, and he was bringing it to his youth friends, claiming, that they were his friends, and he had promised to bring them liquor at this dance. Well, he was acting a little suspiciously, so the deputy, Joe Dorn, kind of followed him, looked in his car, and found all this stuff. I'm like, all right. You're done. The one that really, this one was from Hankinson. It was a guy who went to the sheriff and complained that someone had given him a check that bounced.
Okay.
And the guy was a bootlegger, but he went to the sheriff to have this other person arrested or something for giving him a check that was worthless to pay for moonshine.
So stupid criminals have been with us pretty much since the dawn of time.
Yes,
I read about them every day, but even back then we had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one from Fairmont, from St. Anthony's Church. St. Anthony's, is that in town or is it along the road?
I'm not sure.
A lot of the moonshine was coming from the Minneapolis area. And, of course, we didn't have the interstates back in the late 20s. So they had to take a lot of two-lane highways, and I think a lot of that traffic came up through the Fairmont area.
Okay.
And so under the above heading, the Alter Society of St. Anthony's Church of Fairmont, and they're warning bootleggers that if they're caught plying their trade around the hall, they will be arrested and prosecuted. And surely, men must be of a particular temperament who would be interested in selling this stuff.
Temperament.
Yes,
temperament. I like that.
How are we doing for time?
We're doing fine. We got a couple more minutes.
Okay. Here's one about a family who left, and this is from the northern part of the county. They left in a hurry. They just packed up and left one day. So the law was not very far behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty close. And here's one from Dwight Orton Larson, a prominent Dwight man. He had in his possession some of the bootleg, and the sheriff came to him and with his deputy, and so they were arresting him for that. And all of a sudden, a car comes in the driveway. Guy gets out, knocks on the door, and here it was his supplier. So they went to his car.
Perfect timing.
Yep, they went to his car and they found 9 gallons.
Holy smokes.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And they also had some Canadian whiskey in there, so he must have been pretty popular.
I would think.
Yep. This one is from, I got to find that one. Here it is. This was 2 liquor raids. You know, a lot of times they went to homes because we didn't have any hard evidence of speakeasies.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been.
I was going to ask you that. If there
might
was
have
anything,
been, but I found nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, you know, pore over the police records back from that day. But they would do raids on homes. And this one was a joint effort between Wilkin County and Richland County. And they went to Muroc and Nold. And let's see. They ended up arresting both of them, but the chief of police from the Wilkin County was William Kinn.
Okay.
And the patrolman was Charles Dablo.
My grandpa.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
Now you got a little thing.
Okay, a little local history. My grandpa running after moonshiners.
Yeah.
I'm liking that.
Yeah. So, you know, there might be more out there.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, keep digging. I appreciate this.
Yeah. So like I said, when in our pre-talks that, you know, some of the bootleggers from New York and Chicago and wherever else east of here moved on to counterfeit money, and it took us a while to get there. And the biggest bust in North Dakota was in Jamestown. And the reason they made that happen was because they saw these semi-trucks going to Jamestown with sugar. You know, so
sure.
They thought, oh, there's got to be a huge story.
There's a connect the dots, yeah.
And that was more of the federal agencies who did that one, so.
All right. Another great report. I love this. You just keep digging around because you do that better than anybody.
Well, you know, I'm just beginning to know that the 30s were and 20s were horrible times, and yet, you know, the roaring 20s, I mean.
But colorful characters.
Yes.
It's a colorful time giving us colorful characters.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of stories out there that are terrible.
Right.
You know, but we don't need to talk about those.
Absolutely. We got enough of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Janet, always great having you in here.
Fun to be here.
You have a good week. Stay warm.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you find anything else, get back in here next Thursday, okay?
I will be here to talk about I.E. Lillegard.
Okay.
I skipped over him.
Yeah.
And so I've been putting together some information about him and another one of those prominent people that still lives on, or even today.
Absolutely.
So
good stuff. We will talk about that next week. Janet Gageland talking Wahpeton history here as we do every Thursday. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
As a farmer, I have thousands of more mouths to feed than the average person. What fuels me to get the job done? The smell of the soil and the hum of the combine. What fuels my equipment? Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, a premium diesel fuel for the most challenging conditions. Better than any formula yet. Delivering maximum uptime every time. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster. Fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Contact Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley for more information on Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around. Get your vehicle into tip-top shape for 2023 with the Chevrolet Winter Ready Service Event at Smith Motors in Wahpeton. Rebates from $10, $15, and $20 on genuine AC Delco cabin and engine air filters, wiper blades, and batteries. Smith Motors' highly trained certified service technicians are the ones to trust to keep your vehicle running all season long. From tonneau covers to specialized all-weather floor mats, they got your vehicle covered inside and out. For more information and to schedule your service, visit smithmotors.com.